Good morning. Welcome to Turnout Radio on CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Nicole Inika Hamilton, back to open up with you about the latest on the dance scene and the heart of what moves us. It is so good, as always, to be with you on this Saturday morning. Thank you for tuning in. Welcome to this dance space. Well, friends, as we groove into the space today, we're bringing you another segment which explores the stories that live both on and beyond the stage. Coming up on today's broadcast, we'll be opening up about the expanded, reimagined work entitled The Center Will Not Hold, the journey to its staging, and much, much more. Join me on the show. Michelle Dorrance and Ifrad Bounce Asheri are in the house, so stay tuned. We're going to take a break and be right back with more of Turnout Radio right after this. Welcome back to Turnout Radio. I'm Nicole Inika Hamilton. My guests today, starting with Michelle Dorrance, is a New York City-based artist, mentored by Jean Medler, North Carolina Youth Tap Ensemble. She was fortunate to study under many of the last master hoofers. Career highlights include Stomp, Derek Grant's Imagine Tap, Jason Samuels Smith's Charlie's Angels, Chasing the Bird, Ayodele Cassell's Diary of a Tap Dancer, Mabel Lee's Dancing Ladies, and playing the bass for Darwin D's. She is joined today by Ifrat Bounce Asheri, who is a New York City-based director, choreographer, performer, and B-girl, and a Bessie Award winner for innovative achievement in dance. Ifrat has received numerous awards to support her work, including Dance Magazine's inaugural Harkness Promise Award and two National Dance Project Awards. As artistic director of Ifrat Asheri Dance, or EAD, Ifrat's work has been presented on stages both nationally and internationally. Well, I am a fortunate woman this morning because both are in the house with me today. Welcome to Turnout Radio. Michelle, how's it going?
Great, Nicole. How are you?
Well, I'm doing well. Look at the smile on my face. I'm doing so well. I'm doing so well because I get to spend my morning with the both of you. Ifrat, how are you doing?
Doing so good. Happy to be here with the both of you.
Well, it's so great to share time and rhythm space, virtual space with the both of you. Welcome to Toronto. You're both living your best life in Toronto this week. You've arrived in the T-Dot. How is Toronto treating you both, Michelle?
We're having a blast so far. Apparently there's a Christmas market down the street where they're filming something, so everyone's thrilled about that.
Oh, okay. So are you planning on heading over?
I have a few things to practice actually for the work. I just saw a video of myself and I'd like to continue to work on my craft on this good day.
So Christmas market for another time, right?
Yeah, Manon is thrilled, one of our cast members. But yeah, for me, it'll have to be another time.
Okay. All right. We got to make that happen. Efrat, how's Toronto treating you?
It's lovely. Today, I spent about an hour trying to find knee pads because I left mine in New York City. But I got to see more of the city and I walked around and it was lovely. Beautiful day. And I found knee pads. So that's perfect.
Oh, good. Good. Well, you want knee pads. We got knee pads for you in Toronto. Yeah, it's a great city. It really is. And I'm so happy that the both of you are here in the city. We're going to be talking very soon in this episode about the work that is being presented by TO Live and the work that you both co-created. We're going to get to that in just a moment. But I do think for our audience, I think they would be very interested in learning that this is a long time friendship and a beautiful one at that. And so, Michelle, where did this all begin? Talk to us about how the two of you had met way back when.
So Efrat and I believe were first introduced in the dressing room of Broadway Dance Center, where we were both young teachers, by an incredible dancer, Brian Green.
Brian Footwork Green, pioneering hip hop and house dancer and dancer of many, many, many styles, including tap, West African, one of the most incredible movers I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, he was a big, actually, Nicole, I should share this because this is such an interesting point of intersection. He was a producer, if not co-founder and co-producer of the House Dance Conference that happened in New York City regularly. And he would often bring us tap dancers, hopers, to perform amidst like a full evening at the club. He would stop the, you know, DJ and have a full conversation with the community that had gathered there. We would do sometimes impromptu, sometimes very well choreographed performances, but he really believed in keeping our communities connected because of the shared roots. And it, so that he introduced Efrat and I think is just kind of a great foundation from which to have this conversation.
Wonderful. That intersection led to a journey of spending a great deal of time working and creating and knowing one another. Tell us more about that, Efrat.
Well, a real amazing point of intersection was when we were roommates for this incredible show called Imagine Tap, created by Derek Grant. And Derek was really good friends with Buddha Stretch, another pioneering, incredible hip hop house dancer who he is one of the greatest of all times, right? And so Derek brought in Stretch to kind of bring on the hip hop portion of the show. And so Stretch called me and another pioneering B-boy, Cyclone. He is from a crew called Step Fiend that I looked up to so much in my early club days. So I was stoked. I was like working with Stretch and Cyclone and then me and Michelle roommates. I mean, it was insane.
It was insane. She's not wrong. But it was amazing. It was an incredible learning experience, and the show was unprecedented and is still a landmark, I think, for all of those who were a part of it, but really for the tap dance community at large.
Yeah, and shout out that he also, Stretch and Derek, brought together a DJ, DP1, who was another DJ that I really, like, from the moment I started breaking, I had his mixes and everything. So it was really sort of this convergence of so many brilliant artists that I felt I didn't even understand how I could be so fortunate to be there in that mix. And so I really think that experience had an indelible mark on me. And in many ways, this work is really a continuation of all of that, like our relationship just growing and expanding from that moment. So it's with us all the time.
Absolutely.
I'd love to explore that indelible mark that that you shared. Can you talk about how some of those names have informed your journey?
Well, Cyclone, David Fogler, aka Cyclone, he was one of the first B-boys that I saw dancing at the house club. So in very, very particularly a club called Shelter, Timmy Regisford, incredible DJ, soulful house DJ. And when I saw Cyclone breaking there, I saw the dance in a different way. He was so emotional with it. Like, I had encountered breaking in this way, of course, with its sort of central anchor in battling and the explosiveness and the way that you have to sort of defend your right to be there in the dance. But then he was dancing to house music with his crew. There's another incredible B-girl, Miss Twist, that I really looked up to. And there was this flow. They had this clarity in the movement, but then the softness around it that had everything to do with the club as a place of release. And they were releasing in their language, which was breaking, but allowing it to sort of morph with the music and the soulfulness of the sound. And so for me, you know, for many months when I first went to that party, I didn't even dance. I was just watching. So I remember seeing Cyclone dance for the first time. I remember being like, oh, but then he did that spin and then he smoothed it out. Oh, you know, like some from like an emotional perspective, from a spiritual perspective, from a like choreographic perspective, even though I couldn't articulate it at the time, that had a real impact on me.
Those learnings still live and breathe through how you approach your practice?
100%. One of the first solos that I made for myself was actually a really sad solo about something really difficult that I was going through. And again, I realized, like, oh, in retrospect, I understood, you know, I saw people sort of at the club filling up the space with the vastness of who they are, with all the different styles that they embodied from whatever the cultural perspective they were coming from, whether it was breaking or house or just freestyle, influences from Motown and vernacular jazz and tap, right? All West African, Haitian traditional dance, like whatever it is, because everyone was coming there to release. And when you release, there's a lot that comes up, right? And so, I don't know, the club for me was a place where all this kind of coalesced. And the understanding of sort of the cultural reflexivity of these forms, of all these Afro-diasporic forms, was laid bare. And so how can that not lead you to say, like, oh, right, these are dances that tell stories. Look at people showing you who they are, right? And so, again, when I went to the club, I wasn't thinking all of that. I was just like sort of like, holy smokes. And slowly, the deeper you go in, it starts to come out because you're, you know, I was lucky to be around elders, you know, people like Cyclone, but even dancers older than him, Archie Burnett, Rava LaFortune, you know, I could go on. So, yeah. And then that kind of connects to Michelle and I's relationship and the emotional quality of what we always strive to create together.
It's interesting in speaking very specifically about like the reason Efrat and I met and then got to know each other better. So Brian Green and Derek, you know, in this live in these very specific spaces in my mind and also in my life. Derek Grant, a little bit like a half a generation older than me, but very much like a brother and deep friend in our form, but also in life. He inspired me and influenced me so deeply, and not just as an artist, as a hoofer, as a choreographer, as a soloist, but as a thinker. He is a very reflective person. And I, some of the, my favorite memories with Derek, sure, are on the stage or in the studio, but the other half of them are in conversation. And also we talk about our community. We talk about tap dance. We talk about its future. We talk about like what we're after. And similarly, but in a kind of a different path, Brian Green, Efrat mentioned this, he would say jack of all trades, master of none, when really I think a lot of us would say master of most trades. Yeah. And then there are a handful of others that he just does for fun. He would come to my advanced tap class and then teach a beginning house class that everyone would look at each other and know it was the most advanced thing they'd ever taken, even though they were being reintroduced to the fundamentals of a form. So Brian just had such a deep understanding, a deep embodiment, but also a deep care for the way those forms connected. It really inspired me. And then getting to know Efrat during the creation and rehearsing, and then of course performances of Imagine Tap, I was so inspired to actually go after my little wannabe B-girl heart's, you know, dreams and learn from her. I mean, I was a bootlegger at best, but I learned a lot from Efrat. So, I mean, like both, I would say those voices, Derek's and Brian's intersecting my life when they did, I learned so much. And also, this is something that what Efrat mentioned a solo earlier that was very much inspired by this sort of emotional release that wasn't necessarily a part of her like understanding of her early understanding of breaking and the culture being rooted in battle culture. She, when I saw her do Nimikitpa, which was that solo, I immediately saw the way she could intersect the work that I was after as a tap dancer, also trying to find these edges of our vulnerability and emotional quality through a form that can be explosive and percussive. But we also know there's a deep softness in the tradition of tap dance, including ballad work. I mean, you think of Bunny Briggs, but inside of the soft shoe, I mean, there's so much there, right? So there was just this thing, something that is fundamentally human and shared by all of us that she was really tuning into in her own work. And our first early collaborations, I honestly was after that thing I saw her investigating in that solo and just said, would you come over here and be a part of this thing with a bunch of hoofers and jump into this work and explore this emotional language? And thank God she said yes. I mean, we were friends, so it was almost like her doing me a favor. But I say all of that to say, I've learned so much and I feel this way about dancers that I believe are percussive, even though they are not known as percussive dancers. I believe dancers that live in really the styles that Efrat embodies are so often to me the most unbelievable musicians. Their phrase work, their interpretation of both the staccato, syncopated, languid, all these different musical phrases are alive at once in their body. And this is another thing that I continue to seek after is a musical quality inside of my own dancing that is deeply, deeply inspired by people who I believe are visually percussive, equal to a sophistication that lives inside of the very aural percussion of tap dance.
Can I? I'm sorry, Michelle, you're the best. I need to back up to Michelle taking my class because you keep saying you're like barely hanging on. That's so inaccurate. The clarity of Michelle's legs in my breaking class, I have this memory of doing this little kind of like shuffle step where our feet are in the front and it was like, and I was like, oh, Michelle is doing that more sharply than I've ever seen anybody do it in my life with more rhythmic precision. And it worked so well because aspects of breaking are like weaponizing your body and getting ready to fight with your body. And I'm like, right. So actually in class, watching Michelle bring her rhythmic clarity to a lot of the movement was like revelatory. I was like, right, we should actually do this in this six step in six and not stop instead of doing it over an eight count, right? All these things that are second nature to most tap dancers. But, you know, when we're thinking about form and you're like sort of in a fundamental class, you're maybe not doing that, but actually switching up, you know, the time signature of what you're doing and just can like actually unlock something in someone's transitory movement pattern or something. So Michelle, you say you learned so much from me, but even when you were taking my class, I was learning so much from you.
Nicole, she's talking about like the ABCs. Like she's not talking about, you know what I mean? Like I learned to count. No. I learned A, B, C, D, E, F, G very slowly.
It's the attack. It's the attack. That attack in breaking is so much a part of the dance. And so, Michelle, I always loved how you just like attacked it. And then you were like the most onbeat person I've ever seen in my class.
It's very kind of her to say. But I'll also say this. We can really go back and forth in this direction. I know we always give ourselves a hard time in front of each other. This is another great tradition since Imagine Tap of our friendship. our self-criticism sessions that would happen after the show. Oh. But I think what was always like, I guess in the ether was play, creativity, curiosity, and an open-mindedness from which to continue to pursue what that was that we were after. What were we disappointed? What did we hope to have achieved? And a lot of it was, I think, some of these points of intersection that Ifrat is talking about. And, you know, for the percussive or you know, visual clarity that she, I think, is giving me a little too much credit for, there is a really interesting
rigidity
with which I will execute non-percussive rhythmic forms. And I have a hard time pulling at the phrase that if it goes against where I would hear the step fall. And this is where house has taught me. And really, I mean, Ifrat's mentor is someone that I had the pleasure of studying with as well, Marjorie Smarth. House really helped open my eyes to the fact that something can be simultaneously percussive and languid in a way that I did not fully yet embody and inspired me.
Explore that for me, both of you, please, because I'm curious as I'm listening to Michelle's last share about that piece in relationship to play and in relationship to the musical quality that you mentioned you're seeking, Michelle. And so, Ifrat, I want to go to you as you respond to Michelle's share. If you can both explore and expand upon that for me.
Yeah. And Michelle, I'm so glad you mentioned Marge, because I was literally about to just go jump into Marge. Marjorie Smarth, AKA The Lotus, she was a big sister in dance to me and so many other people in my generation. And we lost her in 2015. We miss her dearly every day, but she is so present with us because she is one of those, I mean, she is the person really that showed me that you can be powerful and strong. You can be explosive and vulnerable. You don't have to choose, right? And there's so much space in between all of that. And so it's exactly that we're talking about right here. And so she would always say, live true, dance free. So if you're going to be true to who you are, there's no way you're just aggressive all the time or just like feeling strong and good all the time. No, sometimes you feel like you're going to fall apart. And sometimes you feel like you're crumbling, but you're holding on first, right? You're allowed to be all of that. In our movement languages, whatever they are, should be allowed and have the room to show all of that. And so it's sort of, this is exactly that push and pull, I think, that we're talking about and that interests both of us as, you know, as movers, as choreographers, whatever, as human beings, honestly, like so many layers of being a person that exists and how lucky we are to be artists that can express this through our body, which in a way is the most immediate thing. It's the closest to our heart. Right? Like this is our flesh and it's right here and our heart is right here. And so how can we not find our way through that? You know, and I thank Marge all the time because, you know, we keep learning from her.
Yeah. It's funny to actually bring it into the show that we're here to perform. The moment we all come together for the first time in the work, it lives inside of, I would say, you know, a house ethos, right, Troll? Like there, and we are moving through space. I mean, this is like at least 10 minutes, if not 15 minutes into the work when we finally kind of all find each other. We have found each other before then, but not in a way where we are, I'll use the word allowed to acknowledge one another. And then we literally come together in a clump and just sit together in it for a second, more than a second. And that was really important, I think, to the two of us in developing this and developing the community of this work, because we are all, every single artist, so unique one unto the next, singular artists, to be in a pulse together in that space that lives inside of that, everything Ifrat was just describing.
We're going to take a break. More with Michelle and Ifrat coming up after this.
Thank you.
Michelle and Efrat, born from a little room, the short duet created by the both of you in December 2022, entitled The Center Will Not Hold, is now an expanded and reimagined work that includes a collective of singular performers. Now, the work is presenting in Toronto on May 9th and today, Saturday, May the 10th, and is presented by TO Live on location at St. Lawrence Center for the Arts, Bluma Appel Theatre. Michelle, tell us about the work.
This work is truly a dream come true for me, to intersect artists of myriad disciplines that have some relationship to the footwork in tap dance. I, as a tap dancer, am so deeply inspired by forms that have come from American vernacular, Black vernacular roots, and reinvestigating what those points of intersection are in order to learn more about what I do, both musically and I think in terms of tap dance. My mentor, Jean Medler, always said about tap dance, the form follows the function. So in order to create a particular sound or rhythm, the look of the dance is the one that is functional in order to create it. And so much style comes from that space. So then to reinvestigate the style that has at some point come from this space and grown leaps and bounds beyond that, to reinvestigate and relearn what that is, inspires me deeply. And so from a very, very tiny seed of what this work is, I wanted to share that.
What have you discovered from those reinvestigations? Is there anything that comes to mind for you in particular, Michelle?
Such a range of emotion, such a range of storytelling, history and future present at once on stage and in space, that we can speak, that you do not need to blend or marginalize what you're doing to have a conversation in multiple languages at once. And actually the act of that is so important, especially right now, that so much of what we're investigating in terms of honoring the integrity of so many different languages, that they can all still stay intact and simultaneously intersect one another without compromising their value, their foundation.
Yes, yes. And I see you nodding, Efrat.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, this idea that, I mean, I always say this, but it's like the club mentality of the collective consciousness supporting each individual to be exactly who they are in their fullness. So we, you know, in the process of creating this, it's like, oh, you know, Mike Manson would be like, oh, this step, that juking step reminds me of this Detroit Jit step, that light beat step, BC would say, right? We were seeing sort of the reflections of this shared lineage, but each version of the step was so clearly its own thing, so fully differentiated stylistically in its relationship to the music, right? But yet connected. Like, this is what we are as human beings. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's kind of mind blowing. I mean, not to be like that, but it is. So it's all of that. And then from the dance nerd perspective, it's like, right, when that shoulder just moves ever so slightly on the diagonal, the whole step changes. And now it's a different step. And if the elbow is in relationship to the clavicle in this way, like, right, that whole style is different. Now, so you start to look and see, like, even more kind of like you just like zero in. You're like, right, the way that hip juts out, like, of course I know this footwork. That's familiar to me. I've seen people do something like this at the club for years. Oh, but the way they do it in Detroit, like, forget it. That's a whole universe, right? So I think it's the levels of that. It's the levels of of how connected we are and how beautifully singular we all are.
Indeed, indeed. And I want to also make mention of the fact that this is a Dorrance Dance production, which is bringing together many voices, and you both have mentioned as well many styles. Talk to us, Michelle, about the voices that are coming to the stage.
I'm also going to invite Efrat into this because we both have so much to say about each artist that is joining us on stage here in Toronto. And first of all, also just grateful to the team that is the Dornstan's admin and production team, because the reason we call this a Dornstan's production is that group of folks is supporting us in this endeavor. And the truth is, this is a group of artists that have never come together before. So we don't, as a group of artists, have a name except for the name of this work, The Center Will Not Hold. But maybe we'll have a name by the end of this tour. TBD. But to talk a little bit about some of these artists, if you don't mind us just mentioning each one.
Absolutely. Please do.
And I, Nicole, I'll just mention that during the break, we chatted a little bit about a woman I call my teacher, Fritz Lynn Hector, aka Fritz. She trained me and another cast member of The Center Will Not Hold, John Angeles, our drummer, percussionist, and world champion snare drummer. She trained us in the show Stomp. So that the three of us get to intersect again in this work is so thrilling. And Efrat has a further connection to Fritz. I'll kick it over to you, Efrat.
So I know Fritz through my dear friend, collaborator, Omari Wiles, whose mother, Mari Bass Wiles, was one of the first women to teach West African, specifically Sabar, in New York City. So African dance legend. And Fritz trained with Omari's mom. And that was our point of intersection. And so dance family.
Yeah, we just use this story to illustrate like the way that our worlds intersect and collide. It's really incredibly special. Efrat mentioned Mike Manson, who's a Detroit JIT dancer. And we actually, the two of us, Efrat and myself, or had you already met Mike? We met on tour, or did you meet him before?
I met Mike the first time at House Dance Conference. That event we were saying that Brian Green would have, that would bring all these dancers of different styles together. So, and then we re-met on tour when he came to a Dornstan show. Was it ETM or Miley Nation? I don't remember, but
how
Miley?
Crazy.
Anyway, yeah.
And then, so because Detroit and Chicago share so many things, I'll mention Donetta Lil Bit Jackson, who is a tap dancer, hoofer, and also a Chicago footworker. And it was so important to us that Donetta, because she is someone that holds this relationship of multiple, you know, styles in one in her body. And speaking of folks like that, Tomoe Carr, aka Beastie, who Efrat has known maybe since she was born. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm incredible dancer from a family of dancers. Her father, Sibo, is someone I came up like seeing dancing all the time. Like, in that same generation that I mentioned earlier. And so, I mean, Beastie is so otherworldly. To see her rocking the stage every single night is like, yeah.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. And so like dancers like Beastie and Manon, who is, they are from different continents, but we call them twins in the show. They're very unique unto themselves, but they end up intersecting quite a bit. Manon Bal, originally from France, who's been working in Efrat's company for years now. Go ahead.
Yeah, and that's another thing. So I've known Manon since 2016. So it's going on almost 10 years. And to see her journey and her level of clarity, she can do everything, but the clarity in her arms in the style, a funk style called whacking, I think is the duet that Manon and Beastie share with John, the percussionist that Michelle mentioned. This, it's actually a trio, is one of the highlights, I think, of the work, and maybe something that has never been done before. So
yeah, we believe that there's a very specific language that is like backsticking in snare drumming, and it's very flashy. That John, Beastie, and Manon have literally choreographed / composed this trio in order for those things to intersect is very important. And also because so much of what we do is so footwork driven, it is very interesting, the percussive language and the language with the arms and the way that intersects the whole work. I don't want to give away too much, but we could wax poetic about everybody endlessly, but also to mention another member of Efrat's company who inspires me deeply, Matthew West, AKA Megawatt. Unbelievable. Another multi-form dancer who is percussive. He started off stepping and he does so many things. And two dancers that are swinging into the work we were speaking about during the break.
Yeah, we've been crew, part of an all-female house dance collective that's been around since 2007 called Mawu. Music Alive Within Us, Many Amazing Women United. It could be many things. So Jimbo and I have danced as part of the crew and at the club for so long. And Jimbo has graced stages all over the world in so many different productions. She was with Palabolas for 6 years, right? She's done kind of theatrical work in so many different parts of our field. And she is this brain that, I mean, she's learning a whole new, she just swung in for a different track in Boston, is learning a new track for Toronto, and has been part of the creative process since the very beginning. Yeah. So she is such an incredibly valuable part of this team, and it's been so beautiful to see her in so many different facets of the show.
Yeah, and our newest member swinging in is Virgil Gadson, who is spent 4 months here in Toronto because he was part of the original cast of Anne Juliet. And that is just one of the many, many lanes that he intersects. It was an incredible musical that really honored a lot of the roots and legacy of tap dance called After Midnight. So if he didn't bring his tap shoes to Toronto, actually, he's in trouble. I can't believe I haven't asked him yet. But no, I mean, like, this is also just a group of really unbelievably generous performers.
And then I know Virgil from like Philly breaking scene back in the day. We are all intersected in not just one way, in all this myriad of ways. And I think that's why the work too makes sense. You know, it makes sense on sort of like the vernacular forms intersecting and finding their ways to each other. But it makes sense on this like human spiritual level, life level as well.
Yeah. And a person who's not with us, or actually two folks that are not with us, our lighting designer, Kathy Kaufman, who is one of the only lighting designers I've worked with, because the very first time I worked with her was the debut of Dornstance, the tap dance company. And she's such a visionary. I couldn't stop working with her. And I believe, Efrat, you've worked with her like a number of times on work. So yeah. Kathy, the language of light in this work is very strong. And so is the musical composition, which my brother Donovan, who is 12 years younger than me, there's always this question about, is Donovan your husband or what? No, he is my baby brother. And I feel very lucky, and I think Efrat does as well, that he would collaborate with us too, because we have so many ideas, and he really helped us investigate and distill them down. I mean, there's a lot of music that we didn't get to use in this work because there was so much of it that we loved that he was developing, and such an important language throughout. Also for the tone, we mentioned that a little bit earlier. We're sort of addressing the times that we're living in and how important it is, if dire, our need for community and our need for honoring that we can come together and still be ourselves, that we do not need to change each other in order to find this harmony and you know, a future.
The Center Will Not Hold. Talk to us about the name.
This is great because it lets us talk about Brenda Buffalino. So we had two artistic advisors, one Efrat mentioned before, Buddha Stretch, who collaborated with Derek under the umbrella of Imagine Tap. Our other artistic advisor, who is a brilliant elder in the tap dance community, Brenda Buffalino, was talking to us about a quality that the two of us found in the original duet, A Little Room, which you mentioned earlier, which was the seed of this work. And that duet is still very much at the beginning and a seed of this work. She basically told us if we did not hold on to the essence of that seed, the center would not hold. And she meant in the creation of this work, mm-hmm. But boy, did that echo. And we know she was quoting Yeats, you know, but it echoed into the spirit of the work. It's sort of an if this, then this will not. Would you agree with that, Pearl?
No, 100%. I also, I'm going to say this. We got back from tour from Boston, and we went to see Brenda perform at 86 years old at Works in Process at the Guggenheim. And I just want to shout that out. Like, that woman is so inspiring in so many levels, and I'm so grateful that I met her through Michelle, and she has seen and given me feedback on my work with the company. Like, that is a really big gift. I have to just shout out Brenda. And again, Michelle, I'm so grateful that I know her through you. But
I know her because of my mentor, Gene Medler.
Yes, exactly.
Fell in love with Honey Coles, and Honey and Brenda changed Gene Medler's life, and therefore tap dance in North Carolina. Anyway, keep going.
Yes, all of that. So, and I think I mean, that resonates, the title resonates so deeply in each one of us in different ways. Like, what is your center? Like, where is your purpose? What do you need to be aligned with? Like, now more than ever, how do we maintain that in the midst of all this chaos, right? How do we keep that strong for ourselves, for each other, for our community, right? Like, the center will not hold if we don't know where we are. We don't know if we don't maintain our alignment. Oh my goodness, if we lose it, there's someone next to us who can help us up, right? And so this piece feels like it's sort of high stakes, like it has this tension or energy because it feels like there's a lot that we could lose. So if we don't find a way to stay together. And I really thank Brenda for like illuminating that for us. Oof,
yeah. She has a way of distilling the grandest of ideas into a simple, not necessarily simple, but singular phrase. So thank you, Brenda.
Brenda.
Powerful, powerful. As we begin to come to a close and you consider those words, the stakes, as Efrat shared, and the depth, the heart, the ethos of what this work means, what sits with you both now as you prepare to take the stage?
Really makes me want to show up for my people. I am an imperfect version of myself, speaking of Efrat, talking about like trying to hold ourselves together. Like, I was injured 2 months ago. I'm still getting stronger. I'd like to be stronger for myself, but I want to be my best for everyone who's here. Everyone leaves it on the floor. Yeah, that's what comes to my mind and heart.
Wonderful. And Efrat.
Yeah, I think we need to fight to keep making art and to fight to keep being together. So every opportunity we have, oh my goodness, let's get it in. And let's keep finding ways to make things together, to growing ourselves, to growing each other. Like, no one is stopping us. Like, we are moving forward no matter what, no matter how chaotic it all seems. And so getting to be on the stage with all these brilliant collaborators is a blessing. And, you know, we just keep on keeping on. That's what we have to do. Keep on supporting each other.
Absolutely. Keep on keeping on. And wow, the two of you. Let me just give you some love in this moment right now, because this has been a very special hour of being in conversation with the both of you. Thank you so much for joining me on the show. Thank you for your shares. And thank you as well for sharing time, rhythm, space. It's just been wonderful being with you today. Thank you, Nicole.
We send the same love right back to you. This has been amazing. You're incredible.
You're the biggest joy. Thank you. That's amazing.
Oh, well, thank you. You both have made my day.
Come hang out with us, Nicole. We'll see you at the show.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I am there. Let me grab my knee pads. And
let's go.
I will be there. Thank you both again for joining me on Turnout Radio. I'm looking so forward to seeing you both again soon.
Thank you, Nicole.
Thanks, Nicole. Thank you.
Today, you've been listening to the sounds of Cannonball Adderley with Autumn Leaves and John Coltrane with Blue Train. Welcome back to Turnout Radio. That was Michelle Durance and Ifrat Bounce, a Sherry here in the house with me. It was so wonderful to have them both on the show today. And now, folks, if you missed the top of the broadcast, we invite you to visit turnoutradio.com, CIUT.FM, and some of your favorite podcast platforms, where this episode will soon be streaming. Coming up tonight and presented by TO Live, the Durance Dance production entitled The Center Will Not Hold closes this evening and will be showing in Toronto at St. Lawrence Center for the Arts in the Bluma Appel Theatre. For more information, head to TOLive.com. And for more conversations, turnoutradio.com is where you can access our library of interviews, resources, and also where you can learn more about our show. To connect with us, please email our production team at turnoutradio@ciut.fm. This brings us to a close of our hour. Thank you for being here with us. Join us again next week for more of Turnout Radio right here on CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Nicole Inika Hamilton. I hope your week finds you turning out to dance.